Well, Warren Buffett still says derivatives are weapons of mass destruction. 15 years after describing derivatives as such, financial markets have been highly innovative over the last two decades. We've seen newly invented products, things like credit default swaps, the CDSs, collateralized debt obligations, CDOs, and from zero transactions to transactions that were calculated to place billions, if not trillions, of dollars at risk, all within the space of a few years. They really shot to prominence during the global financial crisis. But there's one area in our law where the regulators perhaps have been asleep at the wheel. And I'm joined now by Bridget King, a Director of Finance and Banking at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, to find out why this is so important for the regulator to rectify, specifically for the financial sector in South Africa. Evening, Bridget.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Almost all South African corporates and parastatals have to hedge against the risks which their businesses may be exposed to in the ordinary course of doing business. Why have the laws that govern derivatives trading in particular come under such scrutiny recently?
Well, you mentioned earlier that the trade of uncollateralized OTC derivatives was seen as one of the contributing factors to the GFC. So in South Africa, we started taking some steps in line with the other G20 countries to bring about new margin systems, clearing systems, and trade reporting systems to alleviate and make the derivatives market a bit of a safer place for market participants.
What steps are those exactly, and are they going to be effective?
So there's three things that we already have under the auspices of the Financial Markets Act. We've got the framework for the mandatory reporting of trade data to a trade repository, and that's aimed at creating transparency in the derivatives market. In South Africa, we're still waiting for an entity to be licensed as a trade repository. Secondly, there's now new, under the Financial Markets Act regulations, requirements to submit certain types of OTC derivatives contracts for central clearing to an independent clearinghouse or central counterparty. There are interim arrangements for an associated clearinghouse to perform that role. With regards to effectiveness, we still need the regulators to give us the list of OTC contracts, which will be subject to the mandatory clearing requirement. And then we need a licensed independent CCP to roll out. And then thirdly, specifically with regards to collateral, we've seen a joint standard issued by the Prudential Authority and the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, which basically says that any trades which aren't cleared through a CCP or clearinghouse, the parties to those trades must pay or pledge or exchange or post margin, that's initial margin or variation margin, and by that I mean collateral, in respect of those uncleared OTC derivatives. In respect of margin, I think, will they be effective? The answer is no, not as they're currently drafted.
And also, if one looks at it in terms of where you stand in the pecking order, South Africa has an insolvency act that dates back to the 1930s. Talk about archaic legislation. How is our outdated insolvency regime affecting the implementation of the new margin requirements, certainly for non-centrally cleared derivatives?
That's right. So the two pieces of legislation clash. We've got a conflict between the provisions of the very modern joint standard margin requirements for OTC derivatives and the provisions of, like you say, the 1936 Insolvency Act, and it's specifically in respect of initial margin. So if I could just take a step back, initial margin is supposed to be the separate bucket of collateral that the parties give to one another, and it's to cover any shortfall in the variation margin they might be holding between the time of the default and the time you actually close out positions. So the FMA joint standard says that your initial margin has got to be pledged to your counterparty in a manner that it's immediately available to the secured party. And the problem comes in when you apply the provisions of the Insolvency Act in an insolvency scenario, and the Act says, okay, fine, if you're holding collateral, whether it's in the form of shares or bonds, in respect of the exposure that you have under the derivatives transaction, if your counterparty goes insolvent, you can realize it immediately. So you can sell it on the stock exchange or the securities exchange, but you cannot apply the proceeds to the debt that's owed to you. And that creates a problem because you have to pay the proceeds instead over to the South African liquidator, wait for the whole liquidation process, prove a claim, he'll deduct his costs, and then only will you get the proceeds of the initial margin that you were holding. And that really increases the systemic market risk that the new derivatives regime has been, you know, trying to improve. And it means that as the secured party, you can't settle yourself and you can't settle your onward commitments. So it creates that domino effect.
And it clearly shows how the two laws are in conflict. The liquidator standing in the middle here, and as we know, that process can take an inordinately long period of time. Now, the Banking Association of South Africa has been lobbying Treasury and the Department of Justice to resolve these conflicts of our laws. What amendments are you looking at here if the legislature were to go ahead and change the law? Where would it start?
So this is an interesting conundrum because National Treasury, through the Prudential Authority and the FSCA, they've been rolling out the derivatives reforms and the margin requirements. But the Insolvency Act falls under the purview of the Department of Justice. So BASA and its members have been working together with the DOJ and Treasury, and the result of these engagements has been the publication of the Financial Matters Amendment Bill. And in there, there's a section to update and amend the Insolvency Act to harmonize the two pieces of legislation.
And the timeline, when can we expect to see those amendments to the Insolvency Act?
Also, we saw first draft published. The period to comment on the first draft has closed. A consultation was held in September. We are expecting a second draft, but we've also so noticed that it's not on the agenda for the parliamentary committee for the fourth quarter of this year, so maybe 2019.
And the consequences? I mean, if the amendments are not made in this quarter by kicking it out by another quarter?
I mean, what it means is that the joint standard is going to come into effect before the Insolvency Act is amended, which means that on day one, the moment you pledge your initial margin, you're going to be in breach of the joint standard margin requirements. Not only the South African margin requirements, but just to highlight that the US under Dodd-Frank, the EU, Australia, all of the other G20 jurisdictions, they have the same initial margin requirements. But the moment you post initial margin, you're going to be unable to comply with the rule that those assets must be immediately available upon a default.
I mean, that is quite a big fundamental flaw in our Financial Markets Act. Let's hope that Parliament can get its act in together in time. That was Bridget King, Director of Finance and Banking at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.